Hey guys, we've got some really, really terrible news, and it's news that, quite honestly, it's just made me feel sick to the stomach, and I didn't want to have to be the one to tell you, but we lost the first 10 minutes of the podcast due to technical difficulties. As I said, I really didn't want to be the one to tell you, but I just hope that you can enjoy it. I just hope you can enjoy it from the 11-minute mark onwards. Thank you. And on behalf of the Daily Dribble, we're sorry.
It's just because he's Australian.
That's what I thought.
They're pulling the old Aussie card.
The Aussies don't get the love they deserve. Daily.
Daily.
Giddy.
That's what
Ben Simmons. Yeah,
oh, well. That's what I jumped to, but they had Vargs in there. Like, I thought it was an international thing, but then I saw Vargs. I was like, okay.
You change that tune. But nevertheless, what a season for Giddy. And all these rookies, this class, you know, the last couple of years we've had names like LaMelo Ball, Ja Morant, Zion Williamson.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. Headline these classes who have really stood out and it's really built anticipation. This year, you know, for us, you know, building Giddy up for the last 12 to 24 months is what's enticed us, but it wasn't a draft class that had, a marquee name like that. No. So I've been incredibly, incredibly impressed. You know, it's really been an awesome draft. A lot of talent and a lot of talent for these teams to build around for the next decade.
Just one on the fly, Nick. Please. A guy that we haven't mentioned in a little while.
D.D.
Dyson Daniels. Eighth in the projected, is he?
I believe in the projected rankings.
Okay, so that's interesting.
What did I say on him? I think you said three, and I said Daniels was it top five?
Could have been top five, top ten, one or the other.
Top five, I think it was. So he's getting up there.
I hadn't heard of his name in a little while, but I was just wondering if he was still there or thereabouts.
I'll be sure to give you an update, but I have been reading the latest reports in mock drafts, and a lot have him around that 7 to 8, 9 range.
Okay.
Well, what's
incredibly exciting?
What is the anticipation for this draft? I haven't heard a lot about it, but like last year,
Holmgren's been the big name.
Because last year we had we had Jalen Green and Mobley as those big names. So I've only heard Shet really.
Shet kind of reminds me, not in the stature and game style of Zion, but just in the lead up to his, I guess, being drafted, just the mixtapes and just the pre-draft hype around
him. Put him and Pokusevski next to each other. That's a couple of big praying mantises on that team.
There was a guy that I saw projected maybe to go third, and he is a big, but he moves like a guard, and I don't know his name. But...
Well, I'm looking forward to – we'll do that in the next couple of weeks. We'll do a bit of a look because it does get us excited for the upcoming draft. So
yeah, absolutely.
Lads, last point for me, Danny Green. Horrible news here. Diagnosed and is now with a torn ACL and LCL there. He turns 35 next month.
Not a good time.
It's going to be a long, long return from injury. We're looking at probably 12 months. 9 to 12 months. That older body is going to take a little bit longer. Could this be the end for him, do we think? Or do you think he'll make a push to come back?
I think my odds would be on him not coming back at all. I think at that age particularly, it's hard enough coming back from an ACL when you're, you know, a young fella just coming up.
And, like us.
Yeah, but
like you, big boy.
Like me, yeah, I'm hitting my prime. no, I think it's going to be a little too difficult for him. And, you know, not to mention the fact that, you know, let's be honest, his form wasn't great before he went down old DG.
Could this reignite the spark maybe just for a last little push for the next year or two and maybe become that you know, that kind of Kyle Korver-esque just shooter off the bench?
Yeah, well, that's all he'd be able to do, I can imagine. Like, coming back from an ACL, he just has to plant himself in the corner.
Yeah.
Just jack knock him it up. Down every time.
Lee, feel a similar way on that one, mate?
Yeah, I hope he comes back. I feel like he'd get a lot more love and praise if he came back after the ACL.
Yeah, there's nothing like an injury to kind of get the people back on your side, is there?
Yeah.
And what do you reckon? Should we all go down with the hammies and quads on ACLs? The people would love us.
Not comparing him to Clay at all. And I know he's older, but if I was him, I'd be getting some inspiration from Clay Thompson. He's come back looking better than ever.
Yeah, it's a funny one because he's, you know, he's won the titles. You know, he's had a hell of a career. It kind of makes you think, oh, yeah, no, because Clay feels like, oh, he's still young and he's still got plenty left to prove, whereas Danny Green, he's on that back nine. So
it's just a bad way to go out. You don't want to end your career in an ACL.
You want to go out on your terms.
I think it's a good point you make, though, Nick. Like, I think it has to come into consideration. If he was still chasing that ring or if he was still chasing, you know, a major achievement, okay, maybe it's worth going another season or two.
He's solidified, really.
Yeah, he's done it. He's done it. He's got the ultimate prize. I don't think he has much more to chase.
Nevertheless, we hope either way, whichever route he chooses, it is a speedy recovery. There's nothing worse than, you know, suffering an injury like that.
Absolutely. So. Get better, DG.
DG indeed. Lads, do you have anything else from the NBA?
Do not.
No.
The NBL. The season's over, but the news is not. We're just about to enter free agency here.
I hope you mention it first, Nick, because I can't wipe the grin off my face. Mate,
the news fresh off the press.
I know this. I don't know much about the NBL, but I know this.
Fresh off the press. Our man Scott Roth has signed a new deal as of today. 3 years we're looking at. Scott. We've got him inked to the 24-25 season. This is the news we've all been waiting for because, you know, this was the big piece. He has been the real catalyst for getting this franchise, building that identity, that hustle, that grit, building the community. His passion has shone through at every moment this season. Couldn't be happier. What a way to bring in the weekend.
Oh, mate, I had the biggest grin on my face when I read this on the socials. Yeah. It's our biggest acquisition.
It is.
It really is at the moment.
I really think this will spark. I believe tomorrow night it's the Jack Jumpers MVP night.
Yep. Heading along. Got a table, Nick?
I haven't. We should have. Next season we will.
Yes. I think we have to dedicate a bit of
money. With the boys, us and all the players together. But I think this news might possibly be a point where we start seeing some of these, maybe these Josh Adams, Josh Maget, you know, look to re-sign as well.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. I think he is that glue guy, Scott Roth. And we couldn't be happier to have him in the state for the next couple of seasons. It really is a phenomenal pickup and probably the envy of most teams around the league.
Oh, he really is. He really is. He's brought another dimension to the league. It's almost like before Scotty, there was no one who could instantly
bring that culture. We have BC and AD, you know, periods and time in history. Maybe we've got SR.
SR, Scotty.
Before SR, after SR.
I feel like
another catch?
Yeah.
No.
Keep pushing it.
Questionable.
Keep pushing it.
Yeah. Can't believe I coined the term or the name Scotty.
Did you?
Yes,
you coined the name Scotty and you didn't even know.
I was about to say, that's a big play for you claiming that. Other news from the NBL during the week. Talk that the Canberra could become the 11th team in the league, looking at possibly rejoining in 2024. Now, they last had a team in 2003.
Yeah.
But I think this is fantastic. It's fantastic news for the league. It's so progressive and they're looking to capitalize on the booming popularity at the moment. And it really does then, you know, become an all-inclusive nationwide league. We just need a team from the NT and we're laughing. We're away. But
is that the only obvious place that's missing out in Australia for the NBL?
Yeah, I'd probably say so.
I think so. Out of all the major markets, like the Northern Territory, Darwin, probably you wouldn't consider a major market.
And I mean, Cairns is close enough, surely.
Yeah, we'll say it's close enough. It's awesome, and I'd love to see it. And they can really take, you know, I saw Larry Kesselman mentioned during the week the inspiration taken away from the Jack Jumpers, and they were saying a lot of them 2024 might be a little bit ambitious, but you saw how quickly we got our things off the ground, the stadium redevelopment, getting the actual infrastructure and processes and front office in place. It really came together quite quickly. So
it seemed to happen in an instant. Now, just one thing I want to mention with the talk of the new Canberra team. Now, if you're a new player, I don't know if you've been to Canberra before, I don't know I've been through there.
Have you been to Canberra?
I think we drove up to Sydney once, which is a long drive, and went through the old.
There's CB. Not much there.
Sorry, but you're saying this coming from Tassie.
Tasmania. No, no, no. There's not much there. It's I remember, but... I did quite a few reports on it. I did a tourism course. I did one on the ACT, and I was really, coming up with not a lot.
No.
There's not much there.
No, unless but you're a politician, you're not going to throw
it. Well, what do you reckon? ScoMo in the top job there? Get him as a starting probably power forward?
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you've seen the news lately, he probably needs to go into the rugby business.
Did he absolutely cleaned up a kid. Yep. Make sure Tasmania, whenever you're hearing this, vote tomorrow. It's the big Australian election. We won't get into politics.
I never knew this basketball podcast would turn into that.
Yeah, it's a shaky ground when you get into politics. So we might move on from there. Yeah, during the week, it was announced News Corp's Matt Logue announced his top 20 players.
Now, in the NBL.
I'm just going to rattle through these.
Yes.
And it's just going to give credence to the fact that how good a shape the league is in. So let me rip through these.
Please, I won't make
the names, but from 1 to 20. Jalen Adams, Bryce Cotton, Xavier Cooks, Mitch Creek, Joe Lualachul, Antonius Cleveland, Vic Law, Josh Adams, Jarrell Martin, Jort Reith, Yanni Wetzel, Josh Majette, Shay Illy, Ian Clark, Tyler Harvey, Robert Franks, Xavier Mumford, Chris Golding, Matthew Dellavedova, and Nathan Sobey. Now, what an absolutely, absolutely phenomenal list of players this is. And that's, you know, that's scratching the surface, the top 20. The league is in such great shape. And I think it's awesome that, you know, tying in with that Canberra point that they're looking to expand because, you know, I keep saying it, I am a broken record. I reuse my catchphrases. I reuse my points.
What is it?
If you haven't already, be sure to check out the NBL next season. Get involved because this league is really, really, really elevating to one of the top tier leagues in the world. And just those names we mentioned there, NBA talent, there is all-time talent in there. So, It's awesome to see.
And I was glad to see a few Tassie Jack Jumpers get a gig in there.
Joshy Adams up at 8th, Josh Majette 12. So two of the top 12 players in the league coming from our humble little state.
I tell you what, at times this year, Joshy Adams has looked like a top three.
I was about to say, looking at the list, I mean, friend of the show, Vic Law, 7th.
Friend of the show, yes.
So fantastic news there. And just, again, I allude to, it shows what great shape the league is in.
Oh, that's crazy. And I've want to mention it again that we had Vic Law on the show.
Absolutely.
I mean, why is that
a surprise? We're heavy hitters here, mate.
I'm so grateful that he came on the show.
Absolutely. A little behind the scenes, but I remembered before that interview, I'd like to take you back and us just waiting for Vic to get on the call. Us never having like a guy of his stature on the podcast.
Yeah, it was big.
It was a huge moment for the podcast. And
go back and watch it and just see our sheepish little grin.
It was a nerve-wracking time, but yeah, we'll have to get Vic back on eventually.
Absolutely. We've got the better setup now, better equipment. Vic's, you know, with the Wildcats now, it'd be nice to hear, you know, reviewing the tape from when he was at Brisbane Bullets to now with his connection with Bryce Cotton.
Oh, do you know my favorite bit about that podcast?
I don't know. You tell me.
When he told us when he got the – I think he was in maybe Orlando or somewhere.
Lakeland Magic.
Yeah. But when he told us he got the call to join the NBL or the proposition, and he just walked us through how he went on like a 20-kilometer walk.
That's right.
Go check it out.
We'll do it again soon.
Spotify.
Guys, let's move ahead. The Daily Dribble. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to have a bit of an analysis now of what went wrong for last season's finalists. The Phoenix Suns and Milwaukee Bucks, both last year's finalists, the Bucks winning that series 4-2. What went wrong for these teams? So let's start in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks went down in Game 7 to your Celtics, Roy. 109-81. So, first and foremost, let's talk on Giannis. There is not much more this guy could have done. No. He became the first player in NBA history to record 200 points, 100 rebounds, and 50 assists in a series.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fault that guy, can you?
Superhuman. Absolutely superhuman. And, you know, the thing with Giannis is he is, on any given night, whether they're full strength or not, heavily relied on to do a lot of the bulk work.
Best player in the league right now, best player in the world.
Yes.
Yep.
Without a doubt, I think. Yeah. But, you know, particularly having Chris Middleton out in that series as well.
Big point.
So reliant on Giannis. So reliant. He had to do so much. And, you know, I mean, credit to Jrue Holiday. He was serviceable. I'm not saying he wasn't. But at the end of the day, Giannis, it was pretty much
a
Giannis
first. They got serviceable, wasn't it? They needed him to be good because I think that Chris Middleton point, like, do they win that series with it? with him?
Yeah,
yes, they do when they're with him.
Yeah, you've got to say that though.
They needed that scoring output, and Drew Holiday wasn't it. You look who's next, Grayson Allen. He had a god awful, terrible series. I hate this.
Let's rip into Grayson. Yeah,
let's touch on that because I had that down in my notes where they went wrong. They went to him far too much. Was it game one? He was pretty good. The last
game one, he was pretty good. He had 11 points, and that was the most he had in the series.
But that you take that. You take that. Because in the last five games, from games 2 to 7, he was 7 of 30 from the field. Bud just went to him too much. It was just play all five of your starters, 48 minutes if you have to. They went to him too much, and it cost them. Like, when you're not, you're bringing on that guy, all he's really going to do is shoot, and he can't do that. It doesn't bode well.
Do you know where else they went wrong? They didn't want to pay PJ Tucker $15 million for 2 years, and that's where they went wrong, especially with Chris Middleton down. They didn't have that guy in the corner to pass to. That
3-and-D guy just to lock down.
Giannis was exhausted. Drew Holiday just couldn't be that guy. And I'm not saying that's bad from Drew Holiday, but,
I mean, I think we mentioned it with just touching on PJ Tucker when we left. I think we said he was going to be an influential loss.
Oh, he was,
for the Bucks. He had that championship experience, and he's a lockdown defensive player. Another few guys who I want to touch on who didn't perform anywhere near to where they needed to. Wes Matthews averaged 5 points over the course of that series.
He
along with Grayson Allen, had to have, in my opinion, at least 2 or 3 games where they just light it up from beyond the arc. Because at the end of the day, that's where they're earning their dough, from beyond the arc, and they just did not live up to their paycheck, which
literally,
was really
if we were on the call, it probably would have been a pretty similar equivalent. Not doing
similar
much.
Similar production.
You know, it was ordinary.
And even Brook Lopez as well, what did he have in the end? He averaged 8 points for the series. Yeah. So you look at Giannis and you look at Drew Holiday, they did their parts, but those three other starting five members were absolutely non-factors throughout the course of that series. No influence whatsoever.
I have something I want to talk about, especially game 7. Not that defense was shocking. Grant Williams had 27. He made 7 threes.
This guy
averages 7 points per game. How are you letting this guy in a game 7 score 27 points and have 18 shots from 3, scoring 7 of them?
Yeah, Grant Curry.
That's one of those ones where you kind of you've mucked up, because you kind of say the first few, let him fly, big fella. No worries.
You say have it.
But when he starts knocking him down as he was, it's like, right, they just didn't make the adjustment. It was heavy legs, you know. And what a game though! What a game to turn it on, have a career game like that was, like that was outrageous. What he did, there is no one in the world who would have picked that. Him to light up
and
three,
absolutely,
and
not.
To drop, was it 18 shots?
18 3-pointers.
18 3-pointers.
Not shots. He dropped. Not dropped. He took 18 threes. And
I was about to say 18 threes. He
made
7. Gone for 50.
Made 7. Now that would have been something. But yeah, I guess just on this Bucks team, last season's fine. Like last season's champion, should I say? They've made the conference semifinals this year. You know, they're missing their number 2 guy. What's the plan? Do they run it back, hope for Middleton back, a healthy Brook Lopez, who they missed for most of the season? They run it back and think they're good enough? Or, you know, what do they tweak, do you think?
My opinion is that they do run it back. I think they're good. At full strength, I do think they're good enough. I think they have to make slight adjustments to their current roster. I'd have to have a look at the contract situation. But I look at guys like Wes Matthews, and I don't see a hell of a lot of upside for him going forward. I know he's just come back to the Bucks, but I don't see him being a highly influential player for them going forward. And I think Connington is another player who's just like doesn't do much for me and didn't stand up in the big moment. So
I mean, especially in the playoffs too. He
looked a couple of seasons ago like he could have been a big needle mover.
He just
stagnated.
Just fell off the face of the earth, didn't he?
I want to know why they changed up their roster from last year. Like what? It just boggles me why you wouldn't pay PJ 15.
Well, that was really the only move that changed, wasn't it?
Did they bring Grayson Allen in? I don't know.
I think you've got for the Bucks. I think you've got non-negotiable players. So you've got players who you wouldn't even consider trading. Yeah. And I'm talking Giannis, obviously. I'm talking Drew Holiday, who I think's key. Chris Middleton's in that conversation, and I think Bobby Portis is probably there as well.
He was serviceable too.
The rest of those blokes, I don't think, are guaranteed.
Yeah, and Brook Lopez, I don't think, No, I think he's a trade candidate.
Yeah, too. I'm with you.
With that, just speaking to Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton real quickly before we move on, lads.
Yep.
What do you classify them as? Giannis is your unequivocal number one.
Yeah.
Is Chris Middleton or Drew Holiday a two, or are they both three? Like, are they good enough to be a two?
Mm.
What do you mean a two?
Well, like a number two in a team, like that second go-to guy.
Chris Middleton, definitely.
Like, if you look at, say, the Lakers, you've got LeBron, AD is that clear number two.
Mm. Yeah. I'm putting them both equal two. I think they're both.
So they're both twos, you reckon?
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. I think they've got very different games, Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. But I think they've shown in their championship run, particularly last year, that they can step up and be handy second the Robin to Giannis' Batman, so to speak. So,
he doesn't need a Robin. That guy can just let him fight.
He's Batman, Superman, Iron Man.
I'm Batman. He's that guy. He's all over it. Lee.
Do it in Giannis' voice. I'm a Batman.
That's not bad. He's a couple of Italian descendants there, I reckon, as well, running around a couple of little Luigis.
Doesn't mind it.
Fellas, let's transition to the Suns game, the Western Conference there. The Suns went down to the Mavs, 123-90, and to be fair, it's probably pretty generous. Mm. They trailed this game by 46 at one point, which was the largest deficit in a Game 7 in 25 years.
Yep.
Wow, where did it go wrong?
You literally can't defend any of them. To be down 46 at home in a Game 7.
I thought it was a joke watching it. I thought this can't be live because this is taking the piss.
Let's see where it went more wrong. And I'm going to say it from my perspective. I think it, and people don't like to say it, and I'm by no means putting the blame on Chris Paul because it's a team game at the end of the day. But I think it started with Chris Paul. Game 2, he scored 28 points. Now, listen to this. From game 2, he's made 18 shots and committed 18 turnovers. Yes. He's had an awful, awful run since that game 2. Horrible. And that falls – when your leader's down, your team's down, and that's what's happened. But I said it's not all Chris Paul's fault. Let's talk Devin Booker. Awful game as well. 11 points on 14 shots. First of all, take more than 14 shots, okay?
That's the big problem. He was so, so passive. Yeah. After he missed those first couple of shots, he just stopped attacking.
Yeah.
He was just looked like a shell of himself, and that's where you need him to step up.
Yeah.
Well, he's a guy who, you used that word before, passive. He's a guy who people have sort of compared him to, I'm not saying he's Kobe Bryant, but just in the way that he goes about killer taking mentality. A shot. He's got that killer mentality. If he needs to put up 30 shots, then he usually would put up 30 shots.
Yeah.
And on the biggest stage of all in a game 7 where you need to have that killer mentality, it just was not there at all.
Yeah. No, sorry, Lee.
That's all I had to say. I think, it started with Chris Paul, but I'm not blaming
and Ayton,
Chris Paul.
His size, should have been a huge factor with the small ball Mavs lineup. His presence was non-existent. Mm. His care factor was not there either.
Say goodbye to that, Max. You're not getting that. Sorry, big boy.
Let's skip to that. Let's ask that question. Do you give him the Max?
I don't think so. I think JaVale McGee can come on the court and do pretty much what DeAndre Ayton does. Not as good, obviously, but they're pretty much the same type of play, and I'm not giving him the Max.
This is the reason you do give him the Max, because CP is coming to the end of his career over the next few seasons. DeAndre Ayton will be the second option on that team offensively.
Him and Booker together.
And I don't think you can. Let's be honest. He had a terrible, terrible game 7. There's no doubt about that. But he showed signs, I think, over the course of his career that he could be one of the elite.
This season has really, I think, he's setting himself up. He's showing why he was that number one pick. You know, I would still have Luka and Trey head and shoulders above him.
Yeah.
But he's showing, you know, why he was selected as that number one. I think you give him the bag straight away. You put his mind at ease, you get him settled, and him and Book, you know, Chris Paul needs to drop back to that number three on that team.
Yeah.
Going forward. Yeah, he needs to be resting.
Get the walking frame out.
You know, playing 15 to 20 minutes a night. Mm. Let them coast. Let Booker and Ayton control it. Biombo and McGee, for as good as they've been, they are not it. To be honest, you know what I think they actually missed?
Mm-hmm.
Or who they missed?
Oh, yeah.
Have a guess of a name.
Who was even out?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone who could knock down a shot?
Dario Saric. I think they missed him just having a smaller ball lineup that could combat what the Mavs were doing, because they were flying around hitting threes everywhere. They went 19 to 39 in this game, 49%. They just needed someone with a little more mobility just to be able to kind of combat the threes that were being knocked down. So I think he's a piece that would have helped. And I think what may have contributed is the fact that they got blown out in game six as well, 113 to 86. Confidence is key. Momentum's key. And they gave too much of it to the Mavs. And they carried it straight through to game seven. And we know anything can happen in a game seven. Here's a fun fact, though, for you. Okay. Here's a real fun fact. This got me on the chuckles. Fun fact, when Frank Ntilikina was matched up on CP3 or Book, they went 3 of 40. 3 of 40 from the field. Frank Ntilikina.
Frankie boy, the lockdown king himself. Frankie
smokes. Who would have picked that? He's been almost a non-factor this season, and he held two of the best players in the league to 3 of 40 matched up on him.
Frankie was almost out of the league not too long ago.
Are you serious? How's that?
Yeah, I know. That's unbelievable. That's a big stat. It is a fun fact.
It is a fun fact.
He lived up to it.
Mate, that is how you buy yourself more playing time next season. Really? That's how you start to kind of reset your career.
Yeah.
You know, you show that you can do that against the best of the best. People are going to look at you in a different way, and I'm kind of making a joke of it, but I'm serious. You know, he's got a place in the league, and that's a phenomenal, phenomenal performance, what he's been able to do. So
that's incredible.
Fair play.
I think, I don't know about you guys, but I think as soon as it got its way to a game seven this series,
you felt
the Mavs were going to take this one, because let's be honest, all the pressure in this series were on the Phoenix Suns.
Absolutely.
They had the weight of the world on their shoulders to win this series.
Yep.
And Dallas were, and it really showed in the way that Dallas played, like they were playing almost carefree. They were playing with that much confidence because they knew that, yes, we do want to obviously win this series, but if we lose it, it's not like we're going to be hounded by the media. Whereas you look at the Phoenix Suns and, you know, they look like a team. They look like their sphincter was that tight throughout the course of that game seven. It was awful. Yeah,
clenched up real tight. Couldn't
fit a pin up there. It was shocking.
I tell you what, I feel bad for the fans. This team, you know, has been pretty much poised, primed and ready since last finals, ready to go. This was their year. This was meant to be the year. They were going in red hot favorites, you know, and they looked at the most dominant team in the league this season, best overall record. Things were progressing. You know, they got tested against the Pelicans, but we thought, I thought that's for sure. That was good. That kind of might make them, you know, just up the ante a little bit. That they've got a fight. But the fans, you know, this game was over quick, smart. And to go out without a fight, with a whimper, it's tough. And I think this might have been their best chance. Booker's going to develop a bit next season. Aiton's going to develop. You know, you've got great players, Cam Johnson. You know, the roster is still there. It's still intact. It's still like really good. But
Chris West Paul's, is getting strong as well.
The West is going to be strong.
This is the point.
Chris Paul's getting a bit older. You know, you saw the Nets go out early this season. You saw the Bucks go out. You know, the Clippers with Paul George, Kawhi back. All these other little teams, all these factors coming in. I think this was their big opportunity. And I hate to say it, I don't know if Chris Paul's going to end up with a title when it's all said and done.
I don't think this was his last chance. Sorry, but it was. Before we move on, I think it'd be criminal if we didn't mention Jason Kidd throughout this. Is this his first year coaching the Mavs?
Yeah.
And he's brought them to the Western Conference Finals. The way he constructed the defense just to shut down the Suns, and he did it by attacking Chris Paul. You attack that front runner, the guy who facilitates the whole offense, and they break down. And
biggest move they made this season was getting rid of KP.
Getting
rid of Porzingis, embracing the small ball lineup. Dinwiddie has been just Dinwiddie 2.0. This team, like, no doubt over the next few weeks, we're going to speak a lot about the Mavs. But
you look at, like, Dinwiddie from the Wizards, and then you see Dinwiddie dropping 30 in a game seven.
I like to admit when I'm wrong, and look, Dinwiddie has made me eat my words because let me put it this way. When he was at the Wizards, I thought he was a god awful player.
I
don't want to use Lee's catchphrase, but I had to bring it out. And when he came across to the Mavs, I still wasn't convinced because I had it was sort of like recency bias to a certain extent. I was like, oh god, this guy can't play for shit. And then He's been I wouldn't say elite, but he's been so valuable for that Mavs lineup, and he's been a sort of contributor as to why they've gone as far as they have.
Absolutely,
along with Luka.
With Luka, absolutely, Luka magic indeed. So let's transition, guys.
The Daily Dribble.
I love saying let's transition, and then on our board, it's got like underneath when we were setting it up, we were all a bit unsure how to use it, so we wrote what each button was.
Yes.
And under that button, transition. That's good.
The OCD in me loves that.
Yeah. Me too. Yes. Yeah. I'm a real stickler for stuff like that, so it's really good for me. Lads, the conference finals, there's been three games so far, two from the East, one for the West. We might start with the East. Just quickly, I guess, recap what's happened in the two games and then just discuss our thoughts on it, what we see happening moving forward and if our predictions have changed at all.
Yep.
Game one in the East there, the Heat won that one 118 to 107. Really great first half from the Celtics, but after halftime, the Heat put the foot down. They won the third quarter 39 to 14. Jimmy Buckets, 41 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals. Had an incredible showing. You know, he loves it. He is the man.
He loves the big moments.
He lives for this. Game two today, a little bit of a different case. The Celtics winning this one, 127 to 102. Not much to really say on this one, that it was over pretty early, probably halfway through the second quarter. A lot of contributions there from the Celtics, you know. Probably, was it 5 guys they had over in double digits points?
Yep.
3 over 20. Mm-hmm. Really well-rounded team performance. So, you know, we're 1 apiece. The series now heads back to Beantown, back to Boston there. How are we feeling about it? Ro, as our resident Celtics fans, do you feel, you know, happy going in at 1 apiece? Are you happy with what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I've certainly got a glass half full approach at this stage.
You always do, mate. You're making lemonade out of lemons.
I'm a positive man. But lemonade out of lemons.
I thought I said it the wrong way for a second. I was like, oh.
I'm glad you paused and then realized, okay. But I think taking one on the road, particularly given the fact that we didn't have Marcus Smart or Al Horford in that game one.
Yep.
When I saw those blokes were out prior to the tip off, I think we all kind of had that feeling that it was going to be an L. But to take game two on the road with those guys back, Marcus Smart, he was arguably the best player.
Oh, arguably.
One rebound away from a triple-double today. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a 20-point, 10-assist triple-double as well, which was crazy. So I think we head back to Beantown with a lot of confidence. If you're the Boston Celtics, I think you're in the prime position at the moment. Got my green glasses on, obviously.
Yep.
But I think we're in a great position to take it up to the Heat. I still think it's going maybe six games.
Well, I think
they
were going in as, the Boston were going in as favourites for this series.
Yeah, I think they would have been as well. Even though, is that strange given the fact that Miami finished with the first seed, or given it was also close, do you reckon?
No, I think that's probably fair too. The way the Celtics have been going the second half of the season, the way they've carried themselves throughout the playoffs, I wasn't surprised to see that. Lee, for yourself?
I think, and this is just my opinion, but I don't think it's going to be easy, but I think Boston are going to take this one. I think just any guy we've seen, especially in the playoffs, any guy can step up any given night. And like I've said before, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are always going to. But now you have Marcus Smart dropping a 24 near triple-double. Mm-hmm. Al Horford has been brilliant, and now we know
revitalized.
Yeah. And now we know Grant Williams can drop 27. So if Miami want to have any chance in this series, they're going to need all their guys to step up, because Jimmy Butler's not going to go in and score 41 every night. Okay. So, but I still think Boston are going to take this series and go to the finals.
Yeah. It's,
you're not going to want to be around me if Boston make it to the finals.
Why not?
Just intolerable, really.
Yeah, I reckon.
Might have to take a week off the pod.
Yeah, please. Mate, you won't have to take a week off. You'll be fired for the week and then reinstated.
Yes.
Interesting start. Mm. Interesting start to this series.
Exciting.
It's going to be very, very reliant. Like, we all know what we're going to get from Jimmy Butler. As we said, this time of the year, he comes into his own. He's not an 82-game player. He's a 16-game player, or however many they go for the playoffs. Mm. Like, this is where he comes into his own. So we know he's going to work hard and just be an absolute dog on both ends of the floor. But it really is reliant, you know, on what else they get. Bam Adebayo today, 6 points, 2 assists. It is not good enough. He's the number two on this team. It is not good enough at all. PJ Tucker, 5 points. Max Strus, 6 points. Gabe Vincent had 14 as well, but that's just starting five there. It's not good enough to contend with a team like Boston that have so many options at the minute that are all firing on all cylinders.
Anyone know what the status of Kyle Lowry is? Because he would make a huge impact. It might you not think be. So?
He was playing himself off the court before he went
not,
down.
Not stat numbers, but he's been to the finals and he's won. So I think...
But they need him on the court at the minute. Like, yeah, they need him to perform.
That's what I'm saying.
Stat-wise.
Yeah, okay. So but where is he? That's my question.
He should be back pretty soon, I believe.
When he comes back, though, does he come back in a bench role?
No. Gabe Vincent will go to the bench, I would imagine, there.
Even with the form struggle?
Maybe. It depends when he comes back. If it's, say, game three, I reckon he comes back on the bench. Mm. And, you know, it is what it is, that first game on the road. If you take the L, so be it. But really try and gear up for game four. Have him back starting, fit and firing, and try and get that one so it's all tied up heading back to Miami.
And I say put him in game three.
Yeah.
If he's been playing bad, put him straight back in there after a little bit of a break so you can kind of reset. It's
depending
kind of
on what
reset.
The status is of that injury, though, like if he's back 100% or if they test him at 80.
I don't mind him leading the second unit, to be honest with you. I think just from a leadership perspective.
Him finding Hero, he would just open up so many good looks for him.
Yeah.
Because on the fast break, hitting him in the corner.
I think it goes overlooked almost. You need those type of elite leaders on your bench.
Because you've got Jimmy in the starting lineup. He can lead
first
that
and
in
second
terms
unit,
of a vocal
and,
I guess, output-wise leader as well.
Something just sprung to mind. I heard JJ Redick say today that you won't win a championship unless you have a top five player on your team. And he kind of went into the past championship winners. Do we agree with that? Do I agree? And then I'm thinking, do all of these top four teams have a top five player? I don't know.
Interesting one. Top five player at the moment.
Talking about Miami?
I'm talking about about both series.
You could argue Luka's a top five player, Curry's a top five player.
In the playoffs, Jimmy's a top five player.
Yeah, Jimmy's a top one player. Yeah.
I need to tell you, if you want to have a laugh and a good experience, watch ESPN with Pat Bev on it. It is actually the best thing.
He's value. That was amazing. I so hope we have him and Draymond Green on a call together.
He's going straight into the media after he's
those guys just over. Would. It's like the second coming of Shaq and Big Chuck.
Big Charles. Yeah.
How good would they be?
He
talks
so much smack.
I love it.
I don't know if you saw him call CP3 cone on defense.
I tell you what, it's quite rare to come across like current players smack talking.
Other current players
in the media.
That's wicked. That's wicked. I love it. I think it's great.
It's funny.
More of it.
Mm. With ESPN, I was like, when Max Kellerman left, I was like, who's Stephen A going to argue with? But I love how like Pat Bev and JJ Redick's coming on. I enjoy watching it.
It's like complete opposites, like the contrast of JJ Redick, who speaks logic. Everything that comes out of his mouth is just common sense. Yeah. And, you know, it's widely agreed on by the basketball community. Then you look at Pat Bev and he just says whatever he wants, doesn't care if it's true or not.
You know what I love about JJ Redick on ESPN real quick? He's logical, but he's not afraid to get in fights, even with Stephen A. He gets angry at him.
The reason he's not afraid to get in fights, though, is because he knows his basketball that well that any argument that Stephen A comes up with, he knows he can counter it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. Mm. In regards to that series, I'm going to say Heat and Seven.
Really?
I'm going to stick with Heat and Seven. It's going to be key in getting Kyle Lowry back and hopefully a healthy and productive Kyle Lowry. And I think key to that, absolutely. They can't go back to Miami 3-1, so they've got to get one in Boston here. Mm-hmm. Game three or game four, it is a must.
Vital.
So looking forward to it. Hell of a series. Mm. Let's transition to the West. Warriors won that one, game one, 112-87. You know, it was a funny old game. Again, a game that was kind of pretty over quickly. We had the second units coming in for a lot of it. Curry, 21 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists. probably Wiggins was best on in this one. 19 points, but
what he, Wiggins.
Yeah, what he did on both ends of the floor, defensively clamps on Luka, and getting that offensive output was huge. So, yeah, a very comfortable and convincing winning game one there, lads.
You can really see the fire in Luka's eyes, though. Like, this is, I think this motivated him more than anything. To be honest, I don't know if you saw
20.7 rebounds, 4 assists. Was a complete non-factor in the second half. But yeah, he's again another guy like Jimmy Butler built for these moments.
Yeah, and I know they went down by a lot, but this series is far from over in my opinion.
Oh no,
absolutely. Oh, you can never write the Mavs off.
They went down. They've gone down 2-0 in both their series so far. Mm. So yeah, you certainly can't. You're not. No one's writing them off yet.
Have you Have you guys watched The Lion King?
Yeah.
Lion King, you're familiar with Scar?
I don't think I've seen the remake. The new
remake's
one.
Good, but no, yes, familiar with Scar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scar, familiar with Luka? Luka Doncic?
Yeah.
M.
Looking very similar at the moment, those two. Really looking very similar. Yeah. He's looking like Dr. Evil or something.
Got
like
clawed,
he's,
didn't he?
He got a big scratch over his face.
Wiggins, wasn't it?
How was it?
Yeah, he got him good, but I like it. He looked like a bad, bad man.
Yeah, he could be a villain in a bad man. Big rock movie or something.
Big rock movie. Dwayne Johnson taking down Luka in an epic battle for the ages. Wow, how would that be?
Oh, love it.
Matters in this one, though, it's going to be like it's what we've seen so far and going to continue to see.
Mm.
Their game is predicated on them making shots. Yeah. They got good looks in this one, and it was just one of them games where they didn't fall, especially in that first half. You know, Jason Kidd, the halftime report, he was happy with the way they were going. They were getting the looks they wanted. They just weren't dropping. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, I don't think by no means, you never want to see it yourself go down by, 25 points in game one. But they were playing the right way.
They were.
But I think the big point for them going forward is they've got to get Kevon Looney off the floor. Mm. They've got to get him into trouble and get that big off the floor just to open the lane for Luka, for Dinwiddie, to Brunson to drive, use their athleticism, not so much Luka, that doughy athleticism that we've come to know and love. But I think that's key. I think that is key for them because they looked very one-dimensional, just very reliant on that three ball. So if they can get Looney off, open that lane up and drive an attack, then look for kickouts, you know, that'll give them just another facet to their game.
Couldn't agree more.
Is this an all-time high rebounding game for Steph Curry, 12?
Yeah, 12 rebounds.
You know what? When you read that stat line out, that's a weird stat line for Steph Curry.
12 rebounds. He's been rebounding the ball well. He's been shooting free throws poorly by his standard, 83% at the minute. You know, he's one of the greatest free throw shooters in the history of basketball, yet he's been struggling, but he's making up for it on the glass.
I don't know if you're watching it. I thought I was dreaming the other day. I think he missed his first
of his first four because he missed two, then he made the third one, then missed the fourth, I believe it was.
That was bizarre. I don't think that's ever happened.
I don't know if you look at him when he misses one, but he absolutely beats himself up for even missing one.
Yeah, so he should.
God, he chews down that mouth guard, doesn't he?
He does.
Mm.
How often do you reckon he goes to him? One a game.
Chews one in half a game.
They're expensive. You reckon he's short of a quid?
No, I'm just giving stingy, some background knowledge.
No, absolutely. For me, though, the Mavs just looked a bit tired in this one. You know, I know it was a blowout in game 6 and 7. But, you know, a lot of their shots were hitting front of the rim, a bit short. And they just didn't look like they had their legs under them. You know, again, adjusting to the pace that the Warriors play with. I think they'll get up to speed very quickly and they'll come back with a real fire in game two there.
Yep, particularly at home when they go back home.
Game three in Dallas is going to be rocking. Mark Cuban will be going off his absolute nut. Big Dirk there, no doubt.
Big XL.
Big XL. Yeah. Dustin, shout out to him. He would be – sorry, Lee, I keep going just as you go to speed. But he would be roughing it right now. He
would be going at it.
Luka Magic indeed. That's gonna be rocking there on game three.
Yep.
I was just going to say, game two after a 25-point loss is very impactful. The outcome is very impactful.
Yep.
If they lose, their confidence is near zero.
You reckon?
Yeah.
As I said, though, they've lost both those series two, like their first two series 2-0.
I see where you're coming from. The mentality side of things, I think if they lose this second game, I don't think it's over. But if they have their first two games in this series as blowouts,
that's the key.
Yeah. I think it does do a number on their mental state for sure.
If it's a 20-plus game again, I think I get what you mean there.
Which is what I was getting at.
Yeah.
You've got to be specific, don't we, Lee?
I think
you never want to go back to home to getting flogged in your first two games. But the Mavs have shown they're here to fight. So, lads, how do we see this series panning out? What's the feel now? It's only been one game, but what have you got for us, Lee?
I still think the Warriors are going to take it to the finals.
Look, on paper, I think the Warriors
championship pedigree, it's shining through. It shone through in game one.
There's something about the Mavs, though. There is something about the Mavs that intrigues me.
Yeah.
And, you know, they sort of, to a certain extent, proved everyone wrong in that last series against Phoenix Suns.
Maybe series one against the Jazz there. It was a bit of a coin flip, but they, you know, made tidy work of them.
Dallas in seven.
Okay. Ooh.
Seven
indeed. I've got Dallas in seven as well. Yeah. I'm with you wholeheartedly. I'm all aboard this train. Yeah. I think they are so, so fun to watch. The way they go about it, they're not going to die wondering, are they, with their shots? No. And I love it. Luka, this is his chance to cement himself already at 23 as, you know, one of the best in the world, which he is, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Almost think the Warriors almost might be being underrated a little bit.
Mm.
Just all the hype surrounding, you know, the Suns and the Bucks going into these finals. Mm. They've looked a little bit lackluster. Even I said, you know, and I kind of made the case, Klay Thompson has looked a bit washed, a bit slow in his return. No Gary Payton. Mm. I think there's almost, people are almost kind of dismissing them.
Mm-hmm.
But, they are a top, top quality team. That championship experience is undeniable. But I'm with you. I'm all aboard the Dallas train now. I hope they win it. I reckon it would be wicked.
It's hard.
Just for XL to come out with a championship song.
Yes. Make it happen.
Oh. And look at magic.
Oh, such a tune, man. I can't wait. I don't know. Is it?
Lee, who sings that song?
XL.
Leave it to him then.
I think it's October, November normally that Spotify give you your kind of yearly report on what songs and artists. I tell you what, I reckon at the minute that is number one by a fair bit for me. I've had it on repeat. It's such a banger.
So you guys are obviously barracking for Mavs in this series, right?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to too, but just I know
that. Why don't you?
I know they've had their rings and they've had their fair share, but just to do it again after the injuries and after they were down for a little bit, to come back up and do it.
And even though they started without Durant and they got that title.
Yeah.
I think them, for Curry getting another one without Durant, as we said last week with the boys from Fifth and Dribble, what an episode that was, by the way, with Maddie and Locke.
That was fun.
Shout out to you, lads. That was a hoot and a half.
Hoot and a half,
absolutely. But
catchphrase, coin it.
Yeah, shit. What was I saying now?
About full circle.
Yeah,
no Durant.
Yeah, no. Yeah, good. There you go. That adds to Curry's legacy. It absolutely does. Getting that another title without him, just showing he's the man. Possibly a Finals MVP. It would be huge for his legacy. Mm-hmm. But it's all about the new blood, isn't it?
Yeah,
the young blood.
It is.
Oh, it's exciting though, isn't it, lads? It's honestly the best time of the year. The NBA playoffs. There's nothing like it. Sports, basketball fans and sporting fans alike, just it's been awesome just having it all week on at work. The traction it's getting, it's wicked. Everyone is so heavily invested. And it's awesome having a bit of an underdog team like the Mavs.
Yeah.
Just quickly, you can't be going for the Mavs, can you? Surely not to win the title, mate. You got the Beantown boys in there.
No. Mavs to win this series.
No, good. I thought you might have just thrown the towel out already and jumped on board the Luka train.
Wouldn't have thought so, but it's Celtics Mavs series.
If you look across there, it's just in view for our video watchers there. That signed Luka jersey of yours.
I tell you what.
You want them to win the title, mate.
Yeah, you would. The
value
from straight to the moon, my man. From a stockbroker point of view. Yeah.
What did you say we were earlier on in the show? Businessmen?
Businessmen.
Think like a businessman.
That, all I'm seeing is dollar signs when I look at that jersey.
Yeah, you can see the reflection in your goggles there, can't you? That's good.
Let me ask, is it possible that next week we'll have a finalist?
No.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. No, I think both of these, it wouldn't be surprised if both went seven.
A lot more likely, I think, for the Warriors than Boston. That is
no, but program. I'm saying if Warriors somehow win in four, would that happen this week?
I was just saying it's a lot more likely than it being in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. I think they're both going deep.
Yeah, me too.
Geez, I'd be flat if either of these series went in four.
Yeah, me too.
Like, you want it to, like, yes, well, let's get into the finals. Yes, let's.
Well, the East can't, one apiece now, so yeah, that won't be happening, which is good.
But that Warriors Mavs series.
No.
No, Luka won't let that happen. That's
not happening. No. He won't go out without a whimper. Lads, what an episode. It's been jam-packed, action-packed, as always, and it's sure to be an action-packed week. It's incredible. The news is going to be nonstop, guys. You've got to be sure to stay up to date with all of our socials. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok. Lee, do the finger. Just a finger counting with me. I love it.
We're on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I am on LinkedIn. Be sure to reach out any business-minded people. I love
you. You love the connection. I'm on LinkedIn, but you're more of a networker on LinkedIn.
Yeah, yeah. I've got some good connections.
Yeah,
I've got some heavy hitters.
You go for the big dogs.
No mucking around. No prizes for seconds. So reach out on LinkedIn as well. LinkedIn, that's good. There we go. We'll plug that. But be sure to stay up to date with us. All the news, all the breaking alerts, the scores. We will be posting it all. Lots coming up, guys. Let me ask you quickly. Which series are you most excited for? I know, going forward, what you've seen so far. Which series gets you more jacked?
Heat Boston.
Do you know the thing is? Yes, I'm a huge Boston fan, but I feel like almost like the underdog status of the Dallas Mavericks in that series against the Warriors has me more intrigued than anything. Obviously, I want Boston to make the finals, but that Mavs-Warriors series, I'm intrigued. And even though they've lost that first game, do not write off the Mavs.
100%. I am with you there, mate.
Mm.
Oh, come on, bring it home, Luca. It's awesome. Guys, it has been a massive episode. We certainly appreciate all your continued support. As we said at the top of the show, be sure to like, subscribe, share, wherever you listen to the show, do all that good stuff. Us as a team, we certainly appreciate it. Lots of big stuff coming for the team. We can't wait to share some upcoming exciting announcements. So tune in each and every week. But till next week, guys, from myself, Rowan Lee, love you, bye.